Morning.
Morning.
Oh, you're far back, eh? You know that there's more anointing in the front. Even the spit Jesus had healed the people. And, you know, when I just, every morning, every Sunday, I just fall in love with this church. It's just, there's so many beautiful gifts, so much love, and we have a long ways to go. We all come short of the glory of God, but God is doing an amazing work. And the word that came to me this morning is the year of Jubilee out of that song, you know? And I felt the Lord wants me to declare, it's the year of Jubilee, new beginning, a new start. And, you know, we are so different. Every gift, we have different gifts. We serve in different ways. But we are all called to extend the kingdom of God. We are called to pull the future into the now. Whatever Jesus provided on the cross, we are pulling it by faith into the now, and we are to change our sphere of influence. And this morning I want to talk about prayer, a call to prayer. And, you know, this morning Sam was just on the piano a little bit as he tried to wake up. And I just thought, you know, like, maybe that's his way of praying. Because, see, prayer has many different facets. It's when you use your gift that God has given you, and you somehow you use your gift. That is almost, it's like a honoring the Creator. It's like a prayer to God, right? And so there's many different ways of prayer, but there is also the, what we are maybe would say, religious way of praying and speaking. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning, hopefully, if I can stay focused. And but yeah, I appreciate you all. It's good that you're here. And let's just pray. Father God, I just ask that you would just give us a listening ear, God, that you would move us into our destiny. Father, you have given us security. You have given us a safe place in you. And now, Lord, I really sense you want to give significance to all of us. We are called, each one of us, for a special purpose. Each one has a special gift. And I ask, Father, that you just open our ears and give us a heart that's quick to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So do we have the scriptures, Linda? So we have the first scripture I have. It's John 14, 12 to 14. And let's just read through it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. That's the last hours of Jesus' life. He prayed that. And it's an amazing assurance he gives us there that if we believe, if we trust, if we cling to him, if we surrender to him, then the works he did, we will do also. And then it goes on, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I see here the heart of Jesus. He wants us to melt together with his heart in that way that whatever we ask is so out of his will, so in sync with his will, with his purpose, with his whatever he desires, that he can give us whatever we ask. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Did something happen? Oh, I'm changing my face. That's what it is. Okay. So I have to move my whole body. You know, prayer, years ago or a few months ago, Paul was talking on prayer. And I really like what he said. He said, if you add, you should, to your prayer, it takes the fun out of it. And I really, really thought about it. It really hit me, you know, like, so I'm praying today that you will not leave this place that you should pray. And what the Lord spoke to me is, he is inviting us into an adventure. See, when you think about it, that you can ask whatsoever you desire, and it will be done for you. If you synchronize with God and with his purposes, you can ask whatsoever you desire and it will be done. You remember Peter when he walked by the gate, beautiful, and the lame man there, And Peter, with confidence, looked at him and said, whatever I have, what did he have? He had something, right? He had an understanding what God in this moment wanted to do. He synchronized with the Father heart of God. And so he said, whatever I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. See, that's the call to prayer. It's an adventure. It's not a religious duty that you perform somewhere and get a big skin on your knees. You know, it's an adventure where your prayers are answered. And that's what I sense God wants to invite us into. It should never be a dry religious discipline, but an exciting adventure. We were last Friday, Saturday, we were on a conference in Vancouver, Healing Room Conference, and the speaker, I brought his book, it's Steve Stewart. He was 20 years ago in the Vineyard Church, is one of the most successful church planters. He planted amazing churches in Ontario and the Fraser Valley and different places, and he was the one that started the first healing room, and a wonderful man of God. So anyway, we were on this conference, and what he does now the last 10 years or so, God called him to go into third world countries, into the slums, into the prisons, into the worst places. And what they do, they either bring a medical clinic or water filters they install or something like that. They help the poor, they feed the hungry. And as an opening for the doors, and then they preach the gospel. They go out and pray for people, and the miracles they see is just phenomenal. They see blind eyes open, deaf hear, and the lame walk, and they saw AIDS healed on several occasions. And I so appreciate this man. So when we were there, they take people to mission trips, because part of it is, when people come along, they fund the trip by their coming along, and they get changed. People from all over the Western world will go on those trips for 10 days or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they come home changed. And so Romy right away felt she needs to sign up for that. So in 3 weeks, she will go to Uganda. And I'm very excited. And she commissioned me to just give a little bit of because they're going to minister to in the slum, first of all, to kids. And so if you have any nice cars or toys, just a few, she will take maybe half of her suitcase. She will bring stuff along. So if you have good stuff, nice stuff, you can give it to her. And then the second part of the trip is for in the red light district in a slum area. They have a house for women or teenage girls that got pregnant. And they rescue them and train them, teach them a business, a trade or something. And so she will bring stuff for them, maybe some cosmetics, some nail polish, some, you know, fancy things. What they want to do is show them that they're special, that they have worth, that they have significance. And so if you want to join in that, you can contact Romy. She will maybe share more next Sunday. But I'm very excited about that, because, see, that's part of her prayer. I remember a few weeks ago, and she probably will tell you that next Sunday again, is she said to God, God, I'm so afraid to step out and to be bold, and can you help me in that? And I really felt the answer to her prayer is now, go there, and I will teach you new ways, right? She will learn, And you know, I really think about us as a congregation. It would be so neat every year to send one or two of us and send them somewhere like that, and just to reach out into the poorest and darkest places of the earth. That would be so amazing. It would change, I really believe, our church here as well. That's what's going to happen, what Romy will do. Please pray for her. Of course, she will leave on the 18th till the 10th, I think, or something. So, and pray for me as well, that I won't starve, of course. So I appreciate that. So I just want to read you one little story so you get a little glimpse of what he's doing. And here in this book, he tells a story. They were in India, And again, they took a medical team along, and they provide medical service in small villages. He doesn't do big cities as much, unless it's slums and real poverty areas. And as the people wait for medical care, they have a prayer team. And a lot of people praying for them, and a lot of times miracles starts happening, and the people run away and come with all their relatives that need help. And so it's amazing. So in this village, and it was, a Muslim village. And so he says here, a team member immediately beckoned me over to meet the Muslim chief of the village. People all around were very excited to tell me what had happened in my absence. A Muslim lady had brought her 7-year-old daughter for medical treatment. She told one of our medical team that her daughter had been born completely deaf and therefore also had never spoken. The woman had brought the girl to get some medicine to help cure this problem. Our team looked at the woman and told her, "I'm sorry, but there is no medicine anywhere that will heal your daughter's problem. But we will pray for her and Jesus will heal her." Placing her hands on the girl's ears, she commanded, "In the name of Jesus, the deafness to leave the girl's eyes, The girl's eyes became wide, and she started to look around. The team member, realizing what had happened, spontaneously exclaimed, "Oh God, you're so good!" Immediately, the little girl repeated in perfect English, "Oh God, you are so good." Her mother started speaking to her daughter in their native language, Telugu, and with no hesitation or difficulty, her daughter began to speak back to her. How could this happen? How could a girl who had never heard a sound instantly speak and make herself understood? Only Jesus could do this. And it goes on then how the Muslim chief watched all that, and how he then he got healed himself of a back problem, and then he started bringing all kinds of people, and he started taking them from village to village. And they established a pastor, and I think now 300 home churches are in that area, in a totally Muslim area. And this was maybe 5 years ago. And you know what, I just paint a picture. I'm not called to do what he is called to do. We are all in our place, being allied. But I sense, you know, like I said before in the prayer, that we have found security in Jesus. And as we learn to walk and help and pray for each other, and that becomes more real. But there is a sense, a desire for destiny. And I think a lot of problems we have in our life, they come out of this unfulfilled need to have significance. Because you're born for significance in a different way. And I really sense God wants to just bring us in a new level. I really believe today things will shift. It's the year of Jubilee. It's a new beginning. Every day His grace will give us a new beginning. But today I believe is a special new beginning. What is prayer? In Google or wherever, it says prayer is an invocation or act that seeks to activate a rapport with God through deliberate communication. So a big part of prayer is communicating, right? Speaking to God, complaining, begging, asking, and then also receiving. So it's a two-way thing. And in any relationship, if communication breaks down, things get bad. It doesn't matter if it's on the job or in a marriage, wherever. And when you make a point and you sit down and say, "Hey, we need to talk. What's bugging you? What did I do wrong?" And you talk, right? And you feel each other's heart, and suddenly things shift. Suddenly the relationship gets better again, right? Energy starts flowing. And that's what prayer is part of prayer is that exchange, that communication with God. There is different ways of prayer. Intercessory prayer, for example, which means you pray for others. Jesus is called the great intercessor. He's praying for us, probably 24/7. He's praying for us. And so when we pray for others, like Thursday night is probably a good example of intercessory prayer. We come together And we pray for each other. We pray for the village, for the leaders. We pray for the government, for missionaries, for things that happen in the world. And that's very important. And you know, I tell you, it's actually so important. I'm convinced, like, we pray for civil servants, like Natalie. So they are, because we pay taxes, right? And so if we pray for them, they are more efficient. And they will need less staff, and you will eventually pay less taxes. We need to pray for the medical care. We need to pray for Justin Trudeau, for Donald Trump. We need to pray for him every day for wisdom, that God surrounds him with godly wisdom, with insight. And we need to pray that again and again. You know, there is a story in Russia when the Tsars were tyrannizing the people in Russia before the communism came. And somehow the church generally started to believe that the Tsars were the Antichrist. And they literally gave up and stopped praying for the government because it was very corrupt. And it got from bad to worse. And I really believe here too, it's so easy. You can see the negative, the corruption, the bureaucracy, and you get into a complaining mode. But that's why sometimes it's so good to come together, like on a Thursday night, where you together pray for those things. And we pray for wisdom, we pray for change, we pray for corruption to be exposed, for everything to come into the light, and we will see results. It may be slowly. But the neat thing is when we come together and pray with other people, it's so much easier than when you drive to work in the morning and you yourself start interceding, start praying, because you made it a habit, you did it with somebody together. It's easier to learn when you're with somebody together. And you know, when you come to the Thursday night prayer meeting, you may say, well, I'm not good praying in public. That's totally fine. You don't have to speak one word. You're still important. It's still important. There's enough of us who like to hear our own voice, right? But see, you still will learn, and your agreement is very important. It really adds to the strength of this prayer circle. I want to encourage you. Come. Like, see, in the healing room, I see it as well on Wednesday. We are a team. It's a walk-in clinic. People receive prayer. We anoint people with oil, and then we pray. We ask Jesus to show us what he wants to do. It's a wonderful thing. And we are like 3-4 people together ministering to one visitor. And each of us hears God totally different. Totally different. And each of us ministered what they believe, they received, they ministered in a different way. And that's totally fine. We are different. See, we all are called to pray. We are all called to take the kingdom and share it, extend it, and release it into this generation. We all are called to that. And at times we have to do something we are maybe not really called to do. We may, there's nobody else maybe, right? And so you may go to a person and it feels like you're hugging them with your leg, like Phil demonstrated so well last Sunday. It may feel awkward, but you know, as we are growing, we will more and more recognize where our gifting is and how we can actually be who God has called us to be. We often want to be like somebody else. I actually wore a shirt so I look like Phil a little bit. But then, you know, I realize I can never be like Phil, right? I have to be who I am, and I want to be inspired by him and encouraged, and I want to learn from Mark, and that's good, but we need to be who God has called us to be. So that's intercessory prayers. We pray for friends, family, neighbors, cats and dogs. It's okay, you know. Government, missionaries, myself. And we pray in Jesus' name. See, that's the beauty. We don't have to think, oh, I just messed up. I just did the wrong thing, and now my prayer is hindered. Well, give that to God and receive his cleansing, and you're dressed in his righteousness, and you're speaking on his behalf. It's like he has given us his credit card and the password and the code, everything. And so we now go and cash it in. It's in his name we pray. And he loves when we pray bold prayers. So there's two major ways of us praying. The Bible talks about, or Paul talks in Corinthians about praying in the understanding, which means we think thoughts and figure out what we want to say and speak those words. And that's very effective, but sometimes we are not so sure what is God's will in this situation. And so we kind of, you know, beat around the bush, Romy would call it. And we pray things, but then God has given us another way. At Pentecost, people, they received a prayer language. They started speaking in tongues. And so God, Paul calls it praying in the Spirit. And it's a powerful weapon. And if you have received that, I really want to challenge you. Like when you get a gift, it gives you a responsibility. An ability to respond to a need. And we are in a need. This church, this community has a need. And your prayers are important. And so a lot of times, our understanding is limited. We are not really sure what God wants us to pray about. And if you have a gift, a prayer language, use it. Because Paul says, you edify yourself and you edify the body, right? And so you pray God's mysteries. You pray things you don't understand. But you pray the perfect will of God, untainted by your understanding. Because all of us has only a limited understanding. But the Spirit knows. And that's why to pray in the Spirit is a powerful weapon. You can pray alone in your closet, and that is very important. But you also pray corporate. And I couldn't say which one is more important, because I know when I pray corporately, it helps me to pray alone. But I also know when I pray corporately and I don't pray alone, it kind of, there's no depth to it. So I think it's both is important. I feel the same with worship. See, when a musician can be an amazing musician and sing wonderful songs, but if in the secret place he is not a worshiper, it's just there's no depth to it, right? So it needs both. So I believe it's so important to have this prayer closet where we all alone, we pray to God. But then we have this place where we get infused with strength because we pray with others, and there is agreement, and there's more power, and there is more things happening. And so those are the two major ways of praying. I want to just go to scripture quickly and praying for people in James 5, 13 to 15. And James gives some clear advice how to live life practically. Is anyone among you suffering or in trouble? Other translations say, let him pray. You know, we will have trouble. In this world, Jesus says, we will have trouble. But be of good cheer. We can pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I just want to put a challenge out to you. If you, the last 6 months, how many times have you been to a doctor, physiotherapist, a chiropractor, special clinic? You don't have to raise your hand or tell me. But just no, honestly, I want that we get real before God. How many times have you looked for some services? And how many times have you called the elders to pray? And you know, I really want you to look soberly at it, because sometimes we need to check our pulse. Am I still alive? I mean, I'm actually ticking the way God wants me to tick, right? Because see, he created you a certain way. And I really believe in my heart, it's offensive to God if you go to a physician. Like, I'm totally for doctors. Hear me well. I really believe doctors are like car mechanics. If I try to fix my car or electronics, I'm good at taking it apart, but it never works out, okay? So I honor physicians, I honor chiropractors, you know, listen to, because they can see if you're sick or not. They can stitch you up and they can tell you, no, it's gone, you're healed, right? So they're good. But I really believe as a Christian, the first thing we should do is take the advice of the Bible, right? And so I really believe for each doctor's visit, you should have at least two visits by brothers, sisters that would anoint you and pray for you. I'm very convinced of that. And I want to just blend in a scripture. It's not on, we were not bringing it up, but the Lord's Supper scripture. And in some translations it says to examine yourself. And we use it in a certain way, but I think there's a deeper, another meaning in that scripture. Because then it goes on and it says, because some of you do not recognize the body. Some are sick, weak, and some have died. And I really feel God wants to help us to understand, first of all, what Jesus did on the cross. See, it's because Jesus died on the cross that now we, as people without covenant and not being Israelites, let's say, can now go and receive Jesus, receive eternal life, and start taking what's in the future and pulling it into the now. But if we don't recognize what the significance on the cross, but then I think another facet of this scripture, if I don't recognize the body, you and me. See, there is some stuff I cannot do alone. There's some stuff, if I try to do it myself, I struggle, I don't succeed, and then I connect with a few brothers and say, hey, can you pray for me? And wow, suddenly where it seemed to be so hard, it seems to, a way starts to appear. And you know, a lot of people in the healing room, they come one time and that's it. But to the chiropractor, they go 3-4 times to the doctor. The doctor gives them a prescription. He tells them, go to Vancouver to a special clinic, have x-rays, come back to me then and then. They do all of that. But when it comes to spiritual healing, when it comes to receiving a life from God, which is far more superior than the life from the earth, we have a totally different approach. And I feel God wants to synchronize us with his heart, that we would see things the way, that we would understand how he designed us to live. And you know, that shall not be a burden. I really, see, Jesus says, if you try to save your life, to keep your life, you will lose it. But if for my sake you let go of your own life, of your own way of doing life, and you embrace my life, then you will get the high life. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why do we carry such a heavy load? It's often because we are doing it the world's way. We are doing it our own way. And I really sense God is inviting us deeper into his love, into experiencing the kingdom, doing things God's ways. And we don't have to do it perfect. We all mess up many times. There's so much grace, and just keep on seeking his face. Keep on praying. Keep on connecting with others concerning issues and stuff you have. Because he will take us, he promised. He takes us from glory to glory. Soaking, another way of prayer. Being quiet before God. I think that's something we want to learn. Not to talk. Because I think some of us are good at talking to God and speaking and then quiet, listen. Lord, you speak, fill me. And I like some music when I soak. And it's so beautiful. In a letter for the congregational meeting, Pastor Phil said this, I would love to see prayer become a more central aspect of the church life. He also said, prayer is the engine of a church. And so I'm moving on into a bit of a different thing, but as a corporate group, I would love that we pray more. That prayer becomes so important to us. It's the engine of the church. If an engine is not running, it's not going anywhere. And you know, I'm a little sobering sod. Like 20 years ago, I was in the Sunday school in the Little Red Church, And two times we took a team of seven of us to once to Willington, another time all the way to Abbotsford to get training for our Sunday school. We had 2 to 3 classes. And that was 20 years ago. And I don't know the numbers of the congregation, but I think it shrank. And the town maybe quadrupled in the last 20 years. And again, that's a sobering thought, no condemnation. We don't know why. There's different reasons we can explain maybe. But I really believe God is building momentum. You know, a year ago I preached here. And I felt God, I went through the notes again, and that the call in my heart was, God is doing a new thing. There's a change is coming. And I really believe we have started to build momentum. There's a lot happened in this congregation, and we're very thankful. And it's very beautiful. But first of all, I believe we need to treasure what God is doing, and we need to move on. And without prayer, we will not succeed. If we pray enough, we can even do the wrong thing and it will have success. I'm so convinced of that. If we really connect with God, there is, you know, we will make mistakes. That's okay. But we need to have his influence in our life. We need to invite him in a new way, in a fresh way. Okay, I'm almost done. Is your engine turning, personally? Have you seen growth in the last year or two? If not, just have a yes in your heart. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit now to come and speak to us, you know, because for it will be different things that he will speak to you. Like one will hear this, the other will hear that. But whatever he speaks to you, where do you need to make a shift, a change? Don't take too many things. Grab one thing, the most important. In this area, I really want to make a change. Not by your strength, by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to make a change. If he calls you to be in a corporate prayer meeting or to pray with a brother or a sister once a week, tell that brother or go to that meeting and say, you know what? I'm convicted that I need to be part of this. Make yourself accountable. It's so important. And whatever the Lord will do, say yes. In your heart, say, Lord, I'm willing. Just one more read, quickly. John 15:7. I just want to get the scripture. So it's, you know, Jesus, when he endured the cross, because of the choice set before him. And this is the place where we want to end up. And Jesus says here, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. See, no unfulfilled desires. That's where God is calling us into. John 15:5-16. And see, in two chapters, Jesus literally repeats himself 3 times. And here he says, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So there I want to take out, it is possible to know the will of God. If you're not sure in a certain area, say, God, show me, what is your heart concerning this? And then go to, and let Scripture speak to you. And the next thing, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. See, that is the fruit. That our life, that we can take from what's in the future. Eternal life, divine health, provision, wonderful relationships. We take what is in the future. And we pull it by faith into the now. And see, that's the adventure of prayer. And we together we can do it. So, could we, do you have the last song? Maybe the worship team, could you go up? And if you want to just play the melody quietly. I just would like to pray first and then And then after I prayed, you can sing the song. And yeah, finish it. So would you mind standing, please? Father God, with a trembling heart, I shared what I felt you put on my heart. And Lord, I wanna listen to those words just as much, Lord. I come short of your glory in so many ways. But Lord, one thing I want to say, I want to have a yes in my spirit. I want to have a yes in my heart. And I just ask, I invite you, Holy Spirit, just come. And just fill us afresh, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve it, but because of the blood of Jesus, we want to receive your love. We want to receive significance. Show us, Lord, show us where you want to take us, where we need to take a step of faith, Lord. Father, I just thank you. I just invite you, Holy Spirit, that you just bless every soul here. Father, I just ask for, you said those signs will follow those who believe. That things will change, that even natural things will bow. And Father, I ask for healing. I ask, Father, for eyes that are dim to be opened. I ask for ears to be opened in Jesus' name. That we would have good hearing. I ask for health, Lord. And strength, Lord. The lame to walk. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask for relationship to be restored. For salvation, for kids that are in the world and that they would come in. Father, I ask for provision to come so we can do what you have called us to do. I ask for your kingdom to come. And Father, most of all, I ask that you draw us deeper into the place of being one with you, that we would know how to pray. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.